Hey, everybody, welcome to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. This is Coach Phil Houston, and I am back. It's been a few weeks. I've been out of commission creatively, and that's kind of weird for me to not really be in that content production mode, but I'm back, and I think I've got my rhythm back. Looking forward. I'm going to do a piece in next week or two about spiritual attack and spiritual fitness, because my wife and I have been under spiritual attack for what goes on a year, and we only just realized it recently. And you can't combat spiritual attack unless you know you're in it. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in an upcoming episode of the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. But for today, welcome. I'm glad you're here, and thank you for listening. Thank you for being loyal, and thank you for coming back to listen to my goofy stuff again. As always, you can reach me through the podcast at anchor.fm/four-pillar-fitness. Drop me a voice message there. I'd love to hear from you. If you listen to me on iTunes, would you drop me a rating? Let me know if you like it. Drop me a 5-star rating. If you don't like it, leave me a note. Let me know what you think. If I can get better at something, I would love to do that. And you can reach me on Instagram at Coach Phil Houston and on Twitter at Phil Houston. Now let's rock on into today's podcast episode. It's an episode of No Stuff, and today we're going to be talking about the gastrocnemius. But don't have a cow. It's just your calf muscle. Okay. All right. Bad humor hour is over. Let's get on to our real topic. So what is this gastrocnemius thing anyway? It sounds like something really awful you might hear on Kitchen Nightmares or some other food reality show, right? Or maybe it's a really exotic, weird disease. But I'm happy to report it's none of those things. As a terrible joke above or earlier said, it's your calf muscle, okay? It's one of the muscles in your calf. It's located on the posterior or rear side of your lower leg. This muscle's got some interesting responsibilities and capabilities. It can also create some unique issues if you don't take care of it or at least keep it out of trouble. So let's take a look at your gastrocnemius. The gastrocnemius, called the gastroc by its friends, is a superficial muscle with two heads found in the back of the human lower leg, as mentioned earlier. Superficial means it's found just below the skin, not that it's a self-absorbed narcissistic muscle, although it might be. I guess that's possible that it's superficial and narcissistic, but that's not important right now. What's important is that apparently I can't pronounce narcissistic. Anyway, the plural of gastrocnemius is gastrocnemii, but that will not be on the quiz, so don't worry, kids. The gastroc originates just above the knee joint and inserts into the Achilles tendon at the heel. This means it has action on three joints, the knee, the ankle, and the subtalar joint and foot. That's important to remember because it's a big muscle as the lower leg goes, but compared to say your glutes or your lats, it's not a huge muscle, but it's got a lot to do. The outer head of the gastroc originates on the lateral condyle of the femur, while the inner head originates on the, you guessed it, the medial condyle of the femur. So condyle is a fancy medical word for round bony bit, a round bony part. That might be on the quiz. You might want to write that down. So the lateral head of the gastroc originates on the lateral condyle of the femur. So the outer part of the gastroc originates on the outside part of your femur, just above the knee. The inside head originates on the inside head of the femur. So they line up pretty nicely. The Achilles tendon is actually formed by the gastroc in conjunction with the soleus, another muscle of the lower leg. And we're going to be more on both of these two things in future episodes because both of them are very important for both our regular kind of adult athletes, if you will, and our youth athletes. The tendon created at the Achilles aponeurosis inserts on the posterior surface of the calcaneus or the heel bone. So you can think of the gastroc as a muscle that reaches down into your shoe and goes around the heel of your shoe and attaches on sort of on the near the bottom of your foot. What's interesting to me anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting. Somewhere between 10 and 30% of people in the average population have what's called a small sesamoid bone. It's called a fibula. It's in the lateral or outer head of the gastrocnemius. Now, this thing's just kind of floating around up near the knee, and I'll go get into that a little bit more in a second. Sesamoid bones are small bones that get embedded within a tendon or a muscle, but they're also useful in other ways. So, for example, the kneecap is the largest sesamoid bone, and like many sesamoid bones, it acts like a pulley to provide a smooth surface for tendons to slide over. So the kneecap actually slides back and forth in order to let the tendons create force for the other muscles. So the action of the kneecap, for example, increases the tendons connected to it, that it increases their ability to transmit force from the muscles. In the gastroc, sesamoids are found behind the lateral condyle of femur, and they rarely influence or impact the action of the gastrocnemius, except for allowing things to move a little more smoothly, apparently, according to most of the research about the fibula. The gastric nemius works along with the soleus to produce plantar flexion. Now, plantar flexion is the extension of the ankle joint. If you think of it this way, if you were to stand on your absolute tippy toes, you'd likely be maximizing the functional range of motion possible for your gastroc nemius, or maybe maximizing it. Maybe I just created a new word. At any rate, you'd be standing all the way up on your tippy toes, and you'd be maxing out the functional range of motion for your gastroc. Now, you can stop now before your calves have a cow, and you thought the comedy was over. Well, not quite. The gastroc's also a weak knee flexor. This means that when you bend your knee, it's involved. It also means that when your gastroc is tight, it gets harder to fully extend your knee. So if you're training to increase glute and hip strength in order to get faster and more explosive or to improve knee stability, maintaining the optimal length of your gastroc should be part of your plan. Tight calf muscles make it largely impossible to maximize knee extension. The gastroc is made up predominantly of white muscle fibers, and these are known as type 2 or fast twitch fibers. And this is why its primary involvement is in activities like jumping, sprinting, and other fast, explosive movements of the leg, particularly the lower leg. The functional antagonist or muscle working exactly opposite of the gastroc nemius is called the tibialis anterior, or anterior tib for short. The anterior tib is primarily involved in dorsiflexion or flexion of the joint ankle. If you were to stand on your heels and pull your toes off the ground as far as possible, you'd be in dorsiflexion. All right, you can stop now. Put them down. The motor plan for the gastroc for running, jumping, and other functions starts in the precentral gyrus in the cerebrum. Now listen, I know not all you guys are brain science wonks, but this stuff's kind of interesting to me. And I think if you want to know as much as you can about this muscle, it's good to know how it works from a neuromuscular standpoint. The signal comes from the gyrus in the cerebrum down through the medulla oblongata to the lateral cortical spinal tract, on through to the anterior horn of the spinal cord, and eventually to the tibial nerve via the sciatic nerve and the S1, S2 spinal vertebrae. So if you're having trouble with tight calves and you are someone who goes to the chiropractor, you might want to let them know that, because they can make some adjustments in how your S1, S2 vertebrae are lying and on your sacrum, and that may help you a little bit. Again, I'm not a chiropractor. Talk to your chiropractor about that. Now that we have some of the structural stuff covered, we'll talk about some common injuries to the gastroc, how to take care of them, and how to strengthen the gastroc nemius to improve injury resistance, get stronger lifts, get faster, and jump higher. But first, we're going to take a short break for a word from our sponsor. Welcome back to the Four Pillar Fitness Podcast. We're talking about the gastroc nemius muscle today. We cover what it is, how it functions, and all that good stuff. Let's move on to some common injuries to the gastroc. One of the most common injuries to the gastroc is a strain, and this happens quite commonly. They're very common among athletes, but although they are largely preventable, they're also common among regular folks too. The medial head of the gastroc is the most common site for a calf strain when that strain occurs in the gastroc, which is most of the time. Since there are three muscles making up what we call the calf, the gastroc, the soleus, and the plantaris muscles, technically all gastroc strains are calf strains, but all calf strains aren't necessarily gastroc strains. Now, you may say I'm quibbling, but logic is logic, and so is biology, or something like that. Anyway, believe it or not, calf strains have a nickname. First described medically in 1883, it was dubbed tennis leg, not to be confused with tennis elbow, of course, or table tennis, lawn tennis, or beer pong. Hey, wait, how'd that get in there? Never mind, moving on. How common are calf strains? Well, in one study, calf strains represented 3.6% of all injuries reported among soccer players over a 5-year period. Now, think of the whole universe of injuries that could occur to soccer players. 3.6% coming from a single type of injury is an astronomical number. It's very high. The gastric nemius is considered a high-risk muscle as far as strains go, and that's because it crosses two joints, the knee and the ankle. It's got a high density of type 2 fast twitch fibers, as we mentioned earlier. Its biarthroidal architecture, which is a fancy kinesiology word for crosses two joints, which is very different from sublime smoke two joints, okay? So it's very, very different. Not that I ever did that, as far as you know. But it crosses two joints, and the predominance of type 2 white muscle fiber make for a tough combination as far as injuries go. The muscle fibers contract rapidly and forcefully during movement and span a considerable distance, acting on those two joints simultaneously. So the mechanism of the gastric nemius has been compared to that of cracking a whip. This is actually a pretty good analogy. In fact, gastroc strains have even historically been referred to as a coup de fouet, or snap of the whip. So gastroc strains occur most often when someone's forced to suddenly extend their knee with their foot in dorsiflexion. So think toes off the ground, knee locking out very quickly. This often occurs in sports upon landing during a reactionary movement. Think of the tennis player trying to reach a shot just out of bounds. It can also happen to you when you step off a curve. If you misjudge the depth of the curb or how far it is to the ground, you're going to be in dorsiflexion. You're probably going to hit that heel and your knee's going to lock out and you may strain your gastroc, mostly in the lower part of the muscle, but you never know. Gastroc strains most often occur. We just covered that one. They most often occur when you're forced to extend the knee with dorsiflexion. We're not going to cover that again, even though I just did. How's that for one, huh? There you go. There's a blooper for you, folks. I would edit that out, but I'm just not going to. You'll know when you have a gastroc strain. You will likely have immediate pain, moderate to severe movement restriction, and swelling. So what should you do if you strain your gastroc? Well, your doctor will tell you to apply the PRICE principles: protection, rest, ice, compression, and elevation. I take a slightly different approach to strains. While I'm not opposed to using the PRICE principles as part of a recovery plan, my athletes have always used calf stretching as soon as and to the degree that the pain of injury allows. Let me repeat that. My athletes have always used calf stretching as soon as and to the degree that the pain of injury allows. So if there is a moderate amount of pain or a minimal amount of pain, I may get my guys up and walking around and stretching a little bit right away. If there's a lot of pain, I may have them use some ice to reduce inflammation and pain first before trying to put load or movement on it. So the same idea goes for calf activities. If your pain allows you to perform toe raises or calf raises without additional load, I've always advised my athletes to do that if they can. In my experience, the sooner you can tolerate moving the muscle and the joints that it affects through a full range of motion, the better. Now, I am not a doctor, and this is not medical advice. If your doctor tells you your calf gastroc strain is severe and you need to do something other than what I'm telling you here, do that. Err on the side of your doctor's recommendation if there's any doubt at all. That being said, beginning to stretch and load of muscle, strained muscle, as early as pain levels allow, has helped my athletes return to full function sooner than most prognoses would predict. To be fair, my evidence is anecdotal, but the body of evidence over the years is considerable. Now, tendonitis is another common injury of the gastrocnemius. It's an overuse injury most common among runners and sprinters. Symptoms of gastroc tendonitis include a gradual onset of pain at the back of the knee, tenderness at the origin of the muscle just behind the knee, pain during resistive flexion or bending of the knee, and possible pain or discomfort during calf raises or plantar flexion, exercise with the knee straight. Possible pain during calf stretching is also on the list, but it doesn't always happen that way. Now, interestingly enough, oftentimes a gastroc tendonitis can be mistaken for a knee injury, an actual injury to the knee. People think that perhaps the hamstrings have gotten too tight and there's a problem with some pain behind the knee. And we often have to kind of really discern the difference between the gastroc and the hamstring by kind of poking around back there to see what part of the knee actually hurts. Now, gastroc tendonitis is commonly caused by excessive sprinting at high intensities, increasing your running mileage too soon, an imbalance in the hips or knees, more common than you think, by the way, poor biomechanics of the foot-ankle complex, or incorrect or poorly fitted footwear. Now, your treatment does include rest and ice during acute pain and swelling phases, but that's only for 48 to 72 hours after the injury. And of course, the use of a knee brace or a wrap to support and warm the area behind the knee might help as well. Again, I recommend to my athletes that they begin moving, stretching, and lightly loading the muscle as soon as pain levels allow. Anti-inflammatory medications like ibuprofen may help alleviate pain and swelling in the early stages, but doctors and physical therapists don't seem to think they help long-term, and there really isn't any scientific evidence to show that either. Massage will help to not only ease the pain of both tendonitis and strains, but will help maintain the tissue quality of the gastroc and help prevent injury in the first place. However, since not everyone can get regular massages, I will come back to some ways to keep your calves tamed and healthy in just a moment. While not technically an injury, gastroc spasms can be a pain in the calf. I bet you thought I was going to say ass, didn't you? Well, I just did, so expectation fulfilled. Moving on. Spasms are involuntary contractions of muscles that are really painful. The gastroc is prone to spasms, which can last several minutes and are often debilitating while they last. I mean, these things will literally freeze you in your tracks. No pun, and no really side joke intended there. But let's talk about how to stretch and strengthen the gastrocnemius. While there are hundreds of variations, the simplest stretching and strengthening are still often the best ways to go. For stretching, I've got two simple go-tos. The first is to stand on a stair or step with the back two-thirds or so of your foot hanging off the edge. You kind of want just a ball of your foot on the edge of that stair and everything else hanging off. And then you're slowly going to let your heels lower towards the ground until a stretch is felt in the back of the lower leg. Push down into that stretch as much as the stretch is comfortable will allow. When you get to the maximal point, hold for 10 to 30 seconds. You can repeat this several times on both feet together or on each foot individually. The other is also really simple. Stand close to a wall. Place your foot on an angle against the wall with the heel on the floor and the toes on the wall. Straighten the knee, push your hips towards the wall until it stretches felt in the calf. Now you can increase this stretch by pulling your toes upward, up toward your head actually is the way you want to think about that, with the anterior tibialis or the muscle in front of your lower leg. And you'll know you're doing it right when you feel that muscle starting to get active in the front. Hold this one for 10 to 30 seconds again and repeat several times on each foot. One of the other things that I really like to use is get a softball, a lacrosse ball. You can use even a foam roller or a peanut or something like that, and sit on the floor, put that ball underneath your calf, and just find those tender spots and kind of grind them out a little bit. They'll start to break down and feel better pretty quickly, and that'll release some of the adhesions on the muscle. We're not going to talk about adhesions today, but they're a weird kind of muscle scar tissue, if you will. Probably one of the easiest ways to describe it. But when you break them up, blood flow increases and everything starts to feel better. So that's a really good way to do it as well. There are other stretches that are very effective. But because of their complexity, I'd suggest working directly with a trainer or physical therapist who's familiar with things like PNF stretches, resistance stretches, and band work. On the strengthening side, I'm a fan of toe walks and simple loaded calf raises. Toe walks are pretty much exactly what they sound like. Walk on your toes for 20 to 30 steps, exaggerating the toe position as much as you can. You can even pulse through the toe walk, and you know what I'm talking about if you think about it. Not hard to figure out. And that'll help increase some of the load on the calf. For the calf raises, the simplest way is to load them with a barbell or holding dumbbells. If your balance isn't great, there are weight training machines that will do the trick of loading the exercise. While I'm generally not a fan of weight training on machines, this is one exercise that benefits from the artificial stability created by the equipment. For developing athletic power in the gastrocnemius and calves, try single leg bounding. 3 to 4 repeated forward jumps on the same leg should do. And you can try 2 to 3 sets on each leg. The explosive plyometric load on the gastroc is enormous in this activity. So be sure to be well warmed up before you try this one. Loaded toe jumps also work well. Hold a pair of dumbbells, jump 5 to 10 times quickly using as little knee bend as you can. In fact, my advice is always the same. Keep your knees bent at the same bend just to soften the load on the knee when you land. But all the movement should come through the ankle and foot. And be sure to be well warmed up before trying this one as well. Now, while you may never have heard of your gastrocnemius, you might want to get to know it a little better. It's an important muscle for runners, for athletes, and for everyone else. It'll also give you some aches and pains if you don't take care of it. However, if you treat it right and give it what it needs to get strong and stay healthy, it'll serve you well for a lifetime. As always, you can reach me through the voice message system at Anchor at anchor.fm/4-pillar-fitness. Mistakes today, guys. Sorry, I'm human. You can find me on Instagram at Coach Phil Houston, on Twitter at Phil Houston, and on my website at CoachPhilHouston.com. Once again, thank you so much for being a listener to the podcast. And don't forget to drop a rating and a comment on iTunes if this is where you heard that. You can tell people that I was messing up today. That's okay. And remember, as always, keep the faith and keep at it.